Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
You Cannot Say, beautiful song, which was originally a poem written by the poet, my brother, Jay Hatter, and the singer, and the person who did the arrangement and wrote the music for it is Shout Even Shy, and we start off most of our episodes with that amazing song. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group that's sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we all hang out at allpoetry.com. That's one of the biggest sites out there for poets to share their work, and it's free to join. If you are a member or become a member, you can find us under the group tab. Again, it's A Team of Voices, and if you knock on the door, I'll see you there. If you would like to call in, the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we share the link to the show in our chat group, and the other poets follow along, and we comment on one another. And if any of that sounds like a fun time, just knock on the door. With all that being said, we are in the middle of weeks of a series that I started to salute the other poets that I write with and that participate in these shows. And we're coming really close to our fourth anniversary, and a lot of them have been writing for these shows for the entire 4 years. So I thought a great way to pay tribute to their work would be to pull out some of the great lines from their poetry, use them as prompts to inspire their peers, along with the art that I always put on the board for your personal prompts. And personally, I think we've been having an amazing quality of poems that have been inspired by one another. So tonight should be no different whatsoever. So let's get some of these people in here so that we can pay our respect to the wonderful words of Liquid Damage and get this show on the road. And I am here with the writer of that poem song, my big brother, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
I'm
hey,
good. I'm glad you're here. And we are here with the person whose words we will be inspired by, Linda, also known as Vic Damage. Hello. Glad you're here.
Hello, Deb. Hi, Hatter.
Excited
yeah,
to hear
glad
the poem
to be here. I'm excited.
Inspire. Me too. This is one of my favorite series that we've done so far. So, and right behind them, we have Stephen and Kay. Kay is the owner of A Poetic Slice of Life, and Stephen is her man, her hubby, her co-host, love of her life. Hey, guys. Glad you're here.
Hi, guys.
And then right behind them is none other than Mr. Dave Prophet. We got our signals a little bit crossed last week, but David, the poems that came out for your own quotes were fabulous, and I'm glad you got a chance to check them out since then. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
And then right behind
Hi,
Mr.
David.
Dave Prophet is
Hi.
None other than Mr. Wayne Gent.
What's
hey,
Wayne.
Very glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Now, I'm going to dive right in just a moment, but I have to say something to Wayne. Okay, so Wayne, your wit always entertains us, and you have a habit of making me smile, if not full-on giggle. So I have to share with you that when we finished, I don't even know which show it was, to be honest, but the poem is on the board. It was called Murder. And it might have been for Open Poetry, the pop-up Open Poetry. Anyway, the reason that I put the link on the board is not because, you know, I mean, we already shared it, but I laughed so hard I almost fell off the couch when I read your reply. I had wrote, "This is amazing. Loving it from start to finish. Thanks for the laughter. You rock." And you wrote a reply, and that reply tickled my funny bone. And I have to wonder if everyone knows that the word recital and the word rectal only has a one-letter difference. And Wayne's response to me was, "I love this place. I can't imagine what I would feel about poetry without the live rectals and getting to know you guys." So I have to say that when I was done laughing, I found myself very relieved to know that I wasn't partaking in the rectals.
So, and then you wouldn't need it.
Thank you for making me laugh. You're priceless, and I had to share. It was really awesome. Okay,
ooh.
Now... what I'm going to do is what I do almost every week. I'm going to grab Kay's poem, and we are going to get this show on the road. And Kay, if you would tell us the quote you chose and then show us what you brought. And what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to comment, and then I'm going to have Linda comment, and then I'm going to have the next reader comment because I have a ton of poems to get through. So, Kay, please.
Oh, okay. Let me hurry.
No, don't hurry.
Oh, did I request? Do I need
to?
Okay. Okay, I see it now. Okay, sorry. It's your song. Okay, I got it. Okay. Okay, I chose the quote, spring, rebirth, the start of a new day. Wind chimes made of moonbeams and harmony of light, and the trees were fragrant, and the air was crisp. And I call this endurance of valor, ardors of books of painting, flourishing. Level's twilight invade the sparklers bright. Summer's night, gentle with the usefulness of wash and clean. Yes, Papa said it had to be so. Hunter greens of parental lurking, puppy dog's face. A child wishing to be seen as an adult. The prince of the litter and being a mongrel, thought Papa. His hands dirty, fair hair teachings in sunny days. Heartbeat, pattern continental. Heart of nature, practicality, face lettering and blushes. Spring's rebirth will start a brand new day. There's always time to weep in the shell pink of seasons to plant. Moonshine need a moonbeam and a harmony of light. As a garden pleats water and building new society. The trees are pleasant, and the air was crisp, much like children becoming adults in the perils of dreams.
Awesome.
Wow.
And before I comment on the poem, I have to say I wondered if anybody would take this, because I'm pretty sure that my grandmother had that vase there. And of course, she would put fake flowers in it, but there was, I thought the art that Kay chose was beautiful. But the poem, wow. I like the mention of the child wanting to be an adult, because it seems like the child wishing to be adult, when we're young, we can't wait to be a grown-up and get to make our own decisions. And then we find out that making our own decision comes with going to work every day and comes with a whole new set of problems that you didn't know existed. In my case, because my parents were very good at, if a problem came up, they solved it together, and it wasn't something that they, like, I guess the word would be burdened the kids with. So, you know, all I knew is all the wonderful things they did, and it wasn't until I grew up and had my own kids and my own bills that I realized what a phenomenal feat it is to do so many things. And that's what that made me think of. And the pick of the litter and being mongrel through Papa, his hands dirty. I often call myself one because, like, I'm Irish and I'm German and I'm Swiss, and I think we just even found out another one. And then my kids are even more than that, you know, coming from their dad. So it's just like, I think we're all mongrels, and that's what makes us special, you know? And I like how you use the spring's rebirth will start a brand new day. There's always time to weep in the shell pink of seedlings to plant. And it's like, go out there and plant those flowers and take the time to smell them and listen to the chimes that are in the breeze. And it's just, I thought that this was a beautiful poem. And then I love that you brought it back to much like children becoming adults in the perils of dreams. And I just, this touches on everyone. I don't think anybody, you can't wait to be an adult. And then when you're an adult, you wish you would have slowed down when you were a teenager. And it's like a vicious circle. But I think that you described this totally gorgeous all the way through. And I appreciate you very much. And let's get a word from Miss Liquid Damage. Linda, what you think?
Well, I thought this was very refreshing. It was light and airy and had a real sweet sense to it. I liked the way you worked my wind chimes made of moonbeams and the harmony of light. That worked very well here. And the trees were fragrant with the, and the air was crisp as well, worked really well in this aspect. I thought you did a wonderful, wonderful job with this poem, Kay. As usual, your lines are stellar. They're just beautifully written, and I really loved your poem. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
You get
And I am about to grab Stephen's poem. So, Stephen, if you would comment for your lovely wife while I get yours, that would be great.
I pretty much see what everybody else is seeing in this piece. It's a beautiful piece of, you know, wanting to grow up too soon, which we all did. And then when, like Deb said, when you find out what it is to be an adult, it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
But I also saw, kind of in a way, also seeing the child through the eyes of an adult in this as well. Yeah, I thought that this was a beautiful piece, hon.
Thank you.
Awesome comments, and thank you again, Kay. And Stephen, I just added yours on, so if you would tell us the quote that you chose and read for us, that would be great.
The quote I chose was, "Now the storm has fallen and colors have been changed. They each have faded into night as the storm begins to fade." And I call this "Nightmares Slip Through the Gaps." Stretched nets of thread on steamed wooden hoop catch the dream of antlers upon the clove hoof that run in herds through frosted fields and clouds that hide dark thunderheads beneath that black shrouds. End poem.
Cool.
Yeah, right? He's so good at these four-liners. It just blows me away. I like that first line, "sketched nets of thread on steamed wooden hoop." It's an awesome way to describe the pieces of the dream catcher. And which takes me back to your title, "Nightmares Slip Through the Gaps," and that would mean that the dream catchers may be not doing its job because it slept through the cracks, you know. And the thunderheads beneath black shrouds is a really dark, nightmarish vision. So again, with just four lines, you nailed the poem. I was looking, yep, and it's, holy cow, I think the last time I remember you had 39, you're up to 43. Stephen, you have mastered the four-line poem and making them tens. So like, bravo. I think that you did an awesome job with the picture you chose and the quote you chose, and I appreciate you. And
thank you, Deb.
Linda, what do you think?
Yeah, bravo, Stephen. Really well done. You know, I hear that dream catchers depend on the person who gives them to you. And I had a dream catcher given to me by a very evil woman once, and it was the most beautiful dream catcher I had ever seen. But I had the worst nightmares in my life with that hanging over my bed. And somebody told me that it was because the thought to the heart of the person that gave it to me. So dream catchers don't always work depending on the heart that it's given in. And I like how your poem depicts that. So good job. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome comment. And I was going to grab my poem, so I will see if Kay will comment for her hubby since I already commented.
Yeah, I actually have to say I like Linda's comment because a long time ago I had a dream catcher and I had the most terrible nightmares, so I had to get rid of it. So I like what you said because I think that there's great truth to that. And I kind of said that in my comment too. Mm-hmm. Dream catchers can be pretty, but depending on, you know, the context of it, it can be just that, pretty but not helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an awesome.
Right. It's
great,
like
comment.
Tarot
and
cards.
Yeah,
it's the heart that it's given.
I had never heard that before, but it really makes sense because it's like sort of putting a hex on you or something, you know?
Yeah, you're not supposed to buy tarot cards for yourself. They're supposed to be given from somebody with a good heart, with a loving agenda, and that's how they work the best. And dream catchers are basically the same.
I didn't know that. That's pretty fascinating. Wow. I don't know how much longer you guys can stay, so how about if you tell us what's happening over at Poetic Slice before I read?
All right, this week at Poetic Slice, the rescheduled show for George and Tammy, I think it's been rescheduled twice. We're going to be doing that on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Tammy Wynette and George Jones. We'll have the music from them to listen to, learn about, and write to if you want. Or we have quotes from the miniseries that Showtime did about them called George and Tammy. And it's 7:30 p.m. Wednesday. And Thursday at 8 p.m., I'm sorry, is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm. And she's featuring the movie Mac and Me. Rights, character rights, movie rights, or she said just bring anything about an alien will fit because I guess Mac is an alien. Never seen the movie. Sorry, but that's at 8 p.m. on Thursday. And that's all we got.
Cool. Awesome, and wow. I'm pretty sure that that's the first time I heard you say I haven't seen the movie. Just saying. Okay. I put mine on the board, and Linda, I wrote to your quote, spring rebirth will start a brand new day. And my poem is called Mother Nature's Spring Crayons Color This World. And here we go. The fall breezes ushered in the winter as they blew, marking the green trees and plants brown and gray. Then the jewel-colored leaves drop onto the ground, leaving trees stripped naked in the wooden display. And all the chipmunks and groundhogs hibernated. But the spring's rebirth will start a brand new day. Icy air ushers in the flakes that spread the white out. Limbs weightlifting snow snap falling on the highway. And icicles on rain gutters glitter in dawn's neon light as the sun tosses down gold streams with every ray. Rays grow warmer, then clock hands spring forward. Now the spring's rebirth will start a brand new day. Heated soil ushers in daffodils, hyacinths, and tulips that perfume the gardens with the flower petal bouquet, adding yellow, pink, and purple colors as they bloom neath the birch branches as newborn bunnies play. Green trickles back in, blanketing all the muted tints. Today, the spring's rebirth starts that brand new day. End poem.
Wow. That was beautiful, Deb. I'm just highly inspired by this. I love how you use the spring's rebirth will start a brand new day in each ending of each verse. It kind of molds it all together. But your descriptions of spring is just sparkling, really, really beautiful. And there was one part. Icy air ushers in the flakes that spread the white out limbs. Weightlifting snow snaps falling on the highway and icicles on rain gutters glitter in dawn's neon light. I just love that. I get up in the morning here and look out my window now and see the icicles coming off the gutters ready, dripping and glowing and sparkling in the sun. And it's so nice that we're getting ready for spring. You wouldn't know it here in Alaska right now. The snow has been coming in flurries, and we've got snow flurries up to our windows now. But this is really well written. The imagery here, Deborah, is bright and sparkly and shiny, and I like that in a poem. I like how it made me feel, and I think you did a really great job. Thank you for sharing it, Deb.
Thank you so much, Linda. And I Kay and Steven stayed. One of you want to comment?
What?
Me or you? Me, you?
Either or.
All right. Well, yeah, I like this a lot. And the thing that Linda had mentioned, how each stanza ends with that very similar line. It's not always exactly the same, but it is the same at the same time. And the way that you bring us from fall through the winter and into spring with wonderful words and beautiful imagery. Very well done.
Great comment. Appreciate that very much. And both of you. And Dave Prophet, did you want to comment on mine before you read yours?
Oops, I had the mute button going down. Yeah, I really like this poem of yours, Deb. It was a beautiful introduction to spring. It's like everybody else is saying, it's a feel-good poem. You know, it makes you feel good when you hear it. And you did a great job of reading it. That's what we should be doing as poets, is to, affecting the way people feel. And you did that with me, at least, in spades. So I loved it. I thought it was a beautiful poem. Way to go.
Thank you so much, David. And yours is on the board if you want to go ahead and read for us.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. I chose Linda's number two quote, and I chose picture number 36, and it is called Psychedelic Pachyderm. And it goes like this. Stoned elephant, rainbow cutout, Chelsea's beguilement, denizen of her coloring books. With her crayons of magic, little girl footprints and glitter abounds. My daughter's tenterhooks to my heart so attached. Rainbow elephants, Chelsea, hippie elephants so snatched. No such critter, daughter dear. His eyes look so strange and queer. Giggling, she said to me, "Why, sure there is, Daddy. Zethra showed him to me. He ate some of Zethra's LSD, silly old elephant rainbow. Daddy, he's swaying to and fro. He looks so funny. He feels strange, honey. He'll be on okay in 6 hours. Just friends of the gillyflower. He smells like spices and tea. Flower power incense, you see. I don't think Zethra's mad at him. He ate Zethra's LSD on a whim. He told me the elephant won't do that again. Oh, really? Since I don't know when. Daddy, are elephant stoners? Daughter's questions from dragon donors. Where'd you learn to talk like that? Vocabulary from our dragon's hat. Why, Zethra, of course. Bad ideas he's never endorsed. Daddy, you should know that. No holes in Zethra's hat. He would not teach me bad, for it would make you sad. And she giggled. We watched the elephant turn from rainbow to gray. And I heard my darling daughter say, "Wee, Daddy, there he goes." And boom.
That was really cute. And you know, it always grabs me when you write a poem that involves your daughter, because I know you've said a gazillion times how badly you wanted one. So the fact that you bring one in to the poetry is really, really endearing. And the fact that she's giggling and having a wonderful time, it's all so tender, and I think that like the conversations that you always use, and the images, even there were some smells in here. Where were they? The spice and the tea and the flower power incense. The flower power incense made me smile. It's just, and then she giggled and we watched. I mean, just so many little tender pieces. And I was looking to see that the crayons of magic and glitter abounds, and I think that this went perfectly with that quote. I really think that you did a great job, Dave. Fun, lighthearted, and tender, and appreciated. Linda, what you think?
Thank you, Deb. Yeah, I had fun
doing
it.
Yeah. I could tell. What a beautiful poem. I like, too, that you bring your fantasy daughter into your poems. I think that's really sweet. And this was, you know, I thought so full of wonderment on LSD. What a great concept. The colors and the, you know, all the trails and stuff like that. But the part about your little girl, and the part that got me was then she giggled, and we watched. I didn't have it in front of me, so I can't quote, exactly. But we watched the elephant turn from rainbow to gray. Is that how it went?
Yeah.
That was like so, so opposite of the elephant looking at you, changing from rainbow to gray. I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but really well done. And the imagery in this was just spectacular. So many, so much color and love was put into it. So, David, I thank you so much. You did my quote. You did my quote proud, and I'm really honored that you wrote that poem.
Oh, thank you, Linda. I was pleased just to write it, and use your quote in it. So, thanks for letting me do that.
Yeah, thank you.
I love those moments. And Hatter, as the next reader, will you please comment for David?
Yeah, it's sort of like seeing or witnessing somebody else's acid trip, right? I'd definitely give you away. a rainbow elephant. It looks like he's jumping out of the sky. That's a great angle take on the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Awesome comment.
Thanks,
and yours is on the board.
Okay, let me grab it here. Team of voices. Whoop, jumping. Okay, it's called So the Rising Dawn Won't See. And it goes like this. It sits upon the tree of crows waiting for the moon. Travel through the night's moonlight across the desert dunes. The life to guide to the river sky. Shoot, hold on. I can't see it, Deb.
I got you, Hatter. So the rising dawn won't see. Liquid Damage by Jay Hatter. It sits upon the tree of crows waiting for the moon. Travel through the night's moon like across the desert dunes. The life to guide to forever skies be lost if not be shown. Like keys to lock the things store bought, taken finding you're all alone. Fly into the land beyond the rising dawns won't see. The lines be read to show the dead the days of eternity. End poem. Well, Hatter, that's
thank
a pretty potent brevity there. You got six lines, and they paint quite the story. I like from the first line, it sits upon the tree of crows waiting for the moon. It's a patented Hatter rhyme, Hatter flow right there in that first line. And the life to guide to forever skies be lost if not be shown. And it's kind of got the feel of if you don't look, it's a loss, for things that you don't see. I thought that this came out great, and I would like to see what Linda thinks.
Well, it's so Hatter that I love it because you have a specific way of rhyming and forming your lines that I just get jazzed over. The imagery in this was just really cool and dark and scary and loomy. But the thing I really like is how you rhyme, Hatter. The lines are beautifully written, and I'm really privileged to have you as a friend. So thank you for sharing this poem.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's like the crows are the guide to the afterlife. That's a lot of folklore, Native American Indians. So I had to go back.
Right. Beautifully done.
Thank you.
Beautifully done.
Way cool. And Wayne Jett, you're the next reader, so will you comment for Hatter, please?
Yes. This is a wonderful little brevity here. It speaks volumes about eternity and destiny, and the crow is a very, very good thing to write about. It's really a poem, very good rhyme, a deep storyline, and did a good job with it, Hatter. I liked it a whole lot. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And if everyone will click on Wayne's poem. And Wayne, before I push play, you want to tell us the quote you chose?
Yeah, I use the same quote that we've been using, one about the, let me see, I got to go to it, about the, I was starting a comment after Patters, I guess, over.
I found it. Crayons Maybe. Of magic and glitter abound.
That's it.
All right. Okay, so does everybody have the link? I'll push play.
Okay, what's the name of it?
I Love My Job.
Okay, I got it.
All right. Yeah, well, then here we go.
This is called I Love My Job. Summer days have arrived and slowly go by. It's hard work being a pollinator butterfly. I get up early and wade the morning dew. As the sun sets in the west, our day is through. When the sun shines on nature so bright, I flutter by, feeling the world is just right. When crayons of magic and glitter abounds, and the flicker of my wings is the only sound, I skip from plant to plant, field to field, making sure they produce enough yield. Take my time, sometimes dance in the afternoon. Take a little time for our brothers at full moon. Do it, Roy. Everybody likes me. I cause no harm. I love working down on the farm. Sometimes look up and worship the sky. And I thank God I was created as a butterfly. Yeah.
Wayne, you got to get a kick out of that jazzy blues number you have going on back there. I always like that the background that you choose, and like I said, it has this bluesy feel, and then you go into summer days have arrived and slowly go by. It's hard work being a pollinator butterfly. And I like that you are the butterfly, and that's the job that you love. I think that was a really clever approach to it. And everybody likes me. I cause no harm, and I love working down on the farm. Sometimes look up and worship the sky, and I thank God it was created. I was created as a butterfly. I think that it's whimsical and beautiful, and I love, love, love the fact that you are that butterfly. You are that butterfly, Wayne. Don't ever stop being one.
Anyway,
awesome.
I won't.
Awesome.
Get a nickname.
And before I get Linda's comment, let's say hello to A.P. Taylor. Hey, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi there. How are you doing there?
Hi,
got some great poems going on, and Wayne's a butterfly, so it's a great day.
That's a good start.
Right? And I'm just about to what we've been doing tonight is I comment, and then Linda comments, and then the next reader comments. And so if you want to take a peek, I don't know if you got to hear it, but you'll be after Linda to comment. And
yes.
Linda, what you think?
Yes.
Well, this was adorable, and I love that last line, and I thank God I was created a butterfly, because Wayne, You are the butterfly. There's just, no, I mean, this was such a cool little poem. I like how, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but I like how you personified yourself as the butterfly and not talking about the butterfly. I thought that was really cool. And your escapades as a butterfly is really fun and, you know, jovial. And I liked how you played with your butterfly friends and the whole bit. Your imagery is fantastic. It matches the picture so well, and the use of my quote in there worked out really, really beautifully, and I thank you for sharing this beautiful piece.
Thank you, Linda. It's a great comment.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And AP, what did you think?
Oh, I really liked it, Deb. I love the sort of sense of playfulness and sort of and joy de vivre, and you know, I'm going out to do my job, but this is the way I do it, and I have fun doing it, and there's just a real sort of sense of sort of happiness and fun at the end of the day. Yeah. And yeah, that's what I really liked about it.
Thank you, AP. Good comment.
Great comment. Now, a couple of things, everyone. On two different occasions tonight, the prompt is doubled up on, but there was an issue with this particular topic board, and things got confused and deleted and changed around. So just thought I would mention that there was a couple of different doubles. And AP, did you want to do that announcement before or after you read?
I'll do it after I read, Deb, and I wanted to say that there was a couple of doubles, but mine is not one of them.
Ah.
Because I rewrote the poem.
Because
I noticed that David wrote the prompt. So,
okay.
This is another poem.
Now I'm
about
curious.
Elephants. Not about elephants. This is tracking upon her gaze. And glitterous sounds, and it goes a little bit like this. Towards the break of day upon a crest, the day dawned towards a rocky ledge. Ray's distant swirled in facets of pearl as a round curled, those colours impressed, yellow carving out greys within wedge. Darkened the crevices and angles found, the red circling the oranges within light, but resting there reposed from dare a cheetah ware. Those soft rays abound on a creature with such elegant might. And soon reviewed its kingdom below, creature could see shining within rays, slinking soon at ease, a queen of all she sees, no one to appease, as hers only to know what next would track upon her gaze in poem.
Awesome. You'll have to, wow. I thought I was impressed already with the one that you wrote earlier, and then to turn around and write this one, wow. Tracking upon her gaze, towards the break of day upon a crest, a day dawn towards a rocky ledge. Just the description there is so gorgeous, and I couldn't even imagine sleeping up on that ledge, just have to say, because, like, I roll too much, and I could see you. Not waking up because I rolled too much, but the descriptions, that the facets of the pearl and the queen of all she sees, no one to appease, no one to appease. That reminds me of someone I know. Just saying, but like there's mm-hmm. there's a lightheartedness, there's a respect to the to the tiger that's asleep there. The images are awesome. The rhyme pattern is pretty cool. I really like the way you pulled it down. And creatures could see shining within rays. Just really, really pretty visuals all throughout. So that's two great poems today. speaks well to the quote and the art. Thank you very much.
Yes. Pleasure.
And Linda, what you think?
This was fantastic. I mean, the colors in here brought out the words. AP, you have an amazing way of writing your poetry that just is intricate and lovely and kind of like lace. It's beautiful, and I love that you wrote about this creature and the heart of the creature. I'm having a hard time here, but what's inside that creature's eyes that she sees. And I love this last verse. And soon reviewed its kingdom below, creatures could see shining within rays, sinking soon at ease, queen of all she sees, no one to appease, as hers only to know what next would track upon her gaze. That is just so beautifully written. And the way you ended it was perfectly done. Really beautiful poem with a lot of really great lines in it. I can't pick my favorite one, but you did an outstanding job, AP. Thank you so much for this beautiful poem.
Pleasure, Linda. Thank you.
Awesome.
You're very welcome.
And as the next poem is going to be a recording, how about Wayne, would you like to comment?
Well, I would, but I didn't put a comment down and then change it to another page, so I have to go back and find it again. But I'll come in and I went ahead and started the next place, so I don't remember what I wrote down, to be honest with you, because I have to look at it. I didn't think I was going to comment, so I just went ahead and typed it out left.
Now, I've been doing the same thing. I understand. I did tell everybody that it would just be the couple comments. David, did you want to comment?
I'm sorry. Mute button got me again.
Wow. What's going on?
Wow. That was something.
Yeah,
that was
weird. Okay. Sound like somebody running a wore out pencil sharpener. Okay, anyway, I'm just gonna comment. I'm just gonna say what I wrote down at the bottom of your poem, AP. I said I like your description of this cheetah. I also like the way you presented this creature, not out of fear, but of awe to the reader. Let us see inside the heart and mind of this fastest of all cats. Well done. And it is a nice description of these cats, and they're probably a vanishing breed, and I'm sorry to see that. And we need all of the decent poetry we can get about them and stuff before they're all gone. So I liked it. It was really well done, and it was very warm and enlightening. So thanks. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you, Doug. I was going to do the elephant, but then I saw you had, and I thought I didn't want to double up, you see. So that was why I had a last-minute turn at Albuquerque, as they say.
Oh, that's cool. I wouldn't have minded if you'd have used the elephant either. It wouldn't have bothered me any.
No. But, I mean, you know, we want to do more rather than less images. So there you go. Now, Deb, I had an announcement to make, and I've just got to remember the countries now because we've had three more countries join the great world of and I think I remember them, actually, because you told me. The three countries that I think you told me that are now listening – to a team of voices, Cuba, Madagascar, and Slovenia. How did I do?
Wow.
You did perfectly.
There you go.
And
I didn't even
and
have to get a reminder.
72, 73, and 74. Can you believe
that
our poems are being listened to in 74 countries?
Well, there you go.
Wow.
I think that's
incredible.
It is amazing, isn't it? So
it is.
Bravo. The one thing I did find out, Deb, that I did want to share with everybody that I didn't know was that elephants are colorblind. And they can only see 20 feet. I didn't know either of those things. And I do now. So I just wanted to share without sharing the poem.
Wow.
I had no idea either.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying earlier that it's really cool when you learn something from a poem and you don't even realize that you were just taught until you're like, hey, I never knew that. That's another aspect of poetry that's pretty cool.
It is. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I found out stuff that, which was nice. And then, as I said, Dave had done a poem, and I thought, no, we'll do something else. So, there you go.
Well, that was awesome.
Thanks,
Dave. And I know that you have to go, but I appreciate you calling and announcing our new three countries.
Second, fourth countries, absolutely. So, well done to everybody, and I will talk to everybody soon.
Alrighty.
Thanks for coming, AP.
Okay. Thanks, and thank you. Talk soon.
Okay, now I put the link for Titus's poem on the board. And a little note, Titus just landed a really humongous job that's going to keep him tied up and short of spare time for 3 years. So whenever he adds one to the board, better get your enjoyment out of it because he won't have as much time to write poetry, sadly. So go ahead and click on that link, and I will push his recording. And tell me when you see it.
I've got it.
All right. I'm going to push play. Before I do, though, I know that I think he used two different quotes, and I'm going to them. He chose, it was one. Spring's rebirth will start a brand new day. And here comes the recording.
Amidst the many nurture fields, I've squandered some long walks head on. My eyes are a sparse land, tends the thoughts, as are the small talks a group of daffs try to disband my holding them beneath a clutch, averting the caution do not touch. Declassify the sort or class type, the centre of their universe stretched an imaginary hype. Among the petals making worse if had during my walk missed out, a butterfly did sprightly flout. It would uplift soon into flight, become so coyly wrapped you'll see, remaining scarce it may alight deathly whispers of vainglory, unfazed, a glaze of sunlight ought to find a way in, the moth thought. Dusk will give as much to the dawn as secant lay, to instruct the day, upraise the cry, the antiphon, should moth albeit butterfly, upright themselves like daffodils among the many nurture fields.
Well, there was something about the background music here too that added a softness to it, and it starts off here. I squandered some long walks head on. My eyes are sparse land, tends to thoughts, as are the small talks. And it's like I squandered some long walks. I love the way that sounds for some reason. And where's that? The center of the universe stretched, an imaginary hype among the petals making worse. If had, during my walk, missed out a butterfly that sprightly flout, and it would, in my opinion, it would always be a sad thing to miss a butterfly. And for some reason, my mind went to how many things that the kids nowadays and even the adults miss because 9 times out of 10, heads are down and clicking the keys on a cell phone or something. And you miss so much. And I got that kind of a feel from that. And what was that? At the end there, dusk would give us much to the dawn, a scent lay to instruct the day. And it's just like that the smell of something can take you on a journey. And I got the feel of the journey of that walk and the flowers, and you could smell them, and the butterfly flits in, and it's just a beautiful, tranquil image all the way through, and again, enhanced by that music in the background. And it always blows me away that the power of adding that music in the back, Wayne does it, and Titus does it, and so many use that extra tool to add depth and content by pleasing the ear, and I think that's very cool. And Titus, we're definitely going to miss you when you're tied up with that monumental job, but I'm really happy for you that you landed it. Great share. Linda?
Yeah, what are we going to do without Titus? We'll be praying for you hard that you enjoy your new job and have a good time and work well. I found your poem to be enchanting, just so beautifully written. And I like the part what Deb said about paying attention, because in this paragraph it would uplift soon into flight, become so coyly wrapped, you'll see. Remaining scarce, it may alight, deftly whispers of vainglory. Unfazed, the glaze of sunlight ought to find a way in, a moth thought. I find that kind of like saying, pay attention, because there's so much to see and so much to take our eyes off of it. But beautifully written as usual, Titus. I'm beyond myself right now. I'm so sorry that you won't be able to spend time with us as much anymore, but very happy that you're going on to bigger and better things. And like I said, I'll be praying for you. And I loved your poem, so thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. And hang tight a minute and let me let my sweet pea in. Hey, sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
sweet.
Hello. What a beautiful poem to walk into. This is gorgeous.
Well, please elaborate.
Well, I've really had a rough couple of weeks. Not even rougher yesterday. Much rougher with me yesterday. And there are many people in this world that will try to find you with being, quote unquote, the important. And this poem just reminds us that the important is often the simplicity of taking a walk and observing nature around you and what's really there for us to overcome. Because nobody ever lies on their deathbed and goes, damn, I didn't finish that paper at work, or I didn't sign that document at work. They really think about the things that they, about the places they published. I think it's really good. I promise you I will not remember any document that I signed at work, but I will remember a bouquet of flowers from my grandchildren's or a vacation I took. This is this. complication of simplicity wrapped up into beauty.
Great comment, my sweet. And I am grabbing the poem that Linda wrote herself and grabbing it, bringing it to the board. So, Linda, as soon as you see your poem, go ahead and take us away.
This is called, what was that giant's name? And it goes like this. In the darkness of the forest lives a giant of a man. He stands 15 feet or maybe more. He likes to eat little girls and also little boys, and hot Cheetos he buys them at the store. He's not really vile, just a giant who's in need, so every day he goes out on the hunt. To catch a little girl or boy to eat them up yum yum, then he burps and grunts a vile grunt. He doesn't just eat the flesh, he picks the bones quite clean. Then he uses them for building stuff. He also uses all the hair, he weaves it into hats, and he works the skin till it's soft enough. His home is in a grove of trees, aspen and cottonwood, and a bunch of rocks that form a cave. In the cave lies many bones and things he keeps for snacks, and many other things this giant craves. I learned his name was Kevin, and he's very, very old. He smells like turpentine and castor oil. His hair sticks out from every orifice, and on his face he's got several growing boils. He has a large, distinguished nose that protrudes out way too far, and sight that is akin to eagle eyes. When he stands up straight and tall with feet flat on the ground, his head sticks way up in the sky. I sneak past him every day whilst walking in the woods, just a little game I like to play. I know that if he catches me, things will not be good, and I think I'll have a real bad day. This probably ain't the smartest thing that I've ever planned. It just gets my fire burning hot. And every time I get away, I can't help but sing, the giant didn't get me, he did not. So hence each day I play with fire and tempt the vile gods. I must have a nut loose in my head, 'cause all it takes is one false move and the giant catches me. That is when the giant makes me dead. Epitaph. Well, here I am in giant's hand, the devil caught me good. And now I'm in his grasp around my neck. If only I would have zigged when I thought to zag, then my last words would not be heck in poem. See, I kept it clean for you, Deb.
Yes, you did, doll. And you know, I have to, some of your descriptions were like, wow. We had boils, and the smell of turpentine and castor oil. I mean, it's those nitty-gritty details that you bring in there that brings these lights to life. And on a side note, I have to say I got a kick out of the fact that his name was Kevin, just saying. But in the darkness, in the forest, lives a giant of a man. He stands 15 feet or maybe more. Could you imagine meeting a person that was 15 foot tall? Holy cow. He's not really vile, just a giant who's in need. So every day he goes out on the hunt to catch a little girl or boy to eat them up, yum, yum. Then he burps and grunts a vile grunt. So, like, he's not really vile. I kind of disagree. He's kind of between his smell and his burp and the fact that he's eating the little boys and girls. It's just crazy. And I like I said, your details. We have our king of storytelling, and you are our queen of storytelling. Yeah, the two of the best storyteller poets in the business, I must say. And then
to
tie it all up at the end there with that epitaph, well, here I am in giant's hand, the devil caught me good, and now I'm in the grasp around my neck. If only I would have zigged when I sought to zag, then my last word would not have been heck. And I think my last word would have been a different word that ended with CK, actually. But
right.
I got a real kick out of this. I think that, as you always do, you tell a brilliant story that keeps us interested and never disappoints. Really, really cool. And since it was yours, and I mentioned the king of storytellers, I think maybe I should go to him for the first comment. Dave Prophet, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was great. and I have to agree with what you said about it, Deb. He's not really a vile man, but he eats little girls and boys and uses parts of their skeleton for God knows what, and their hair and stuff, you know. And I raised my eyebrows when Linda came to that part of it, but it's a cute poem. it's fun. And on his face, he's got several growing boils. Woo! This guy sounds kind of grim, actually. But you know, when you growing up, at least when I was, you know, listening to story poems and stuff, or a fairy tale, or whatever you want to call them, they always pictured the giants as scary and gross with boils and hair all over them and, you know, that sort of thing. So I think you did a really good job with this. I love the way you told the story, and it was fun and it made me laugh. So well done.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
And let me see either.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Wayne?
It was an ugly kid eater. So that's it. It was an ugly set. Ugly giant. It hurts eating kids. Well, great point.
Thanks, Wayne.
And my sweet, as the next reader, will you please comment for Linda first?
Absolutely. I love it. I love all the details. It's another great, you know, kid story. It has great rhyme, as always, but the details in the story, the way the giant looks, the way he's, you know, lovable, and, you know, not everything that looks bad is necessarily bad, you know, in this case it definitely is, but there are perils out in the woods. You got to be careful of what you're doing and who you're hanging out with, because you never know who might be dinner, you or a hamster. I don't know. We don't know what's going on, but my last words would definitely have been, oh, shit, or I, you know, but then that's what I was going to become. So then that made me think twice. So I got my brain thinking of what my last words would be if I was in the hands of a giant. So I'm going all kinds of different directions, Linda, which is why I love your poetry.
Thank you, sweet.
Just what she would become. Oh, no. Great comment. And go ahead and take us away, but please tell us what quote you wrote to.
I wrote to quote number 8, which is Oblivion calls out and beckons me to come. And I will tell you, I'm struggling with this poem because it's not where I want it to be. It's close, but it's not 100%. So I got to give it out to a header call where I'm not massaged at the ending quite ready. So bear with me, guys. This is one of the rare ones that I've played with all day and not completely happy with. So, but here we go. This is when a raven cries, I sleep peace. Beyond the shadows of an amber moon, the souls left by ravens gather. Between the shades of dawn and dusk, an ancient servant mourns in silence. The fallen ash skeletons blow in chill winds, whirling a mirage of release in a land of fire, as wings stay burning by the exile of the jealous sun. Laugh and scream as the warmth of blood grows cold in the hands of your bias. Reap the greed grown from the seeds of your false bravado. You suffer as the raven waited to release her. In kaleidoscope dreams, a blackened night, with obsidian wings, tries to fly her from the violence. I was pulled into the oblivion of sorrows that called it, fighting the urge to curse the ancient ways to honor. Bound by chains, we could not reign in the storm to chase behind us. Behind the amber shades of a lunar moon who later. Shades of crimson blood and rivers of doubt and shame down the hollow chest of a crying race and the
Wow. Doubt and shame down the hollow chest of a crying raven. I think that that last line is pretty potent, sweet. The thought of that the raven crying is pretty profound. Right from the beginning, though, beyond the shadows of the amber moon, the souls left by ravens gather. Between the shades of dawn and dusk, an ancient servant mourns in silence. The line there, the servant mourns in silence, sadly brings you to mind, sweetheart, because I feel like that's all you've been doing for months. And or laugh and scream as warmth of blood grows cold in the hands of your bias, reap and greed grown from the seeds of your false bravado. You know, false bravado is an excellent description there, and because sometimes we hide behind it because we don't know what else to do, you know. She suffered as the ravens waited to release her. And for some reason, it actually made me think of yesterday when I picked up my son and drove by the house on the corner by where his job is. There were buzzards surrounding the chimney on the roof there, and sometimes you find yourself wondering if something happened to the person inside, that these ravens that the buzzards are there on the roof. So it's kind of spooky to think of what the birds foretell, or what they know that we don't, type of thing. So of course, the thought of that crying raven would add to the sadness. So, like, oblivion calls out and beckons me to come. Yeah, I think between that and the art, you really nailed the prompts. And sweet, you're due for some happiness and sunshine, and I hope it hurries your way, my dear. Great poem.
Thank you.
Linda?
Yeah, this was spectacular, sweet. The crow itself, or the raven, intrigues me because, you know, we call a group of them a murder, but in Indian lore, a murder of crows is good luck. It's a single crow that is a bad omen, and so that's just a little trivia there. But beyond the shadows of an amber moon, the souls left by ravens gather. That right there is a prolific line. Just really, really eerie. And laugh and scream as the warmth of the blood blood grows cold in the hands of your bias. Reap the greed grown from the seeds of your false bravado. She suffered as the raven waited to release her. That is just beautiful. But I think my favorite part is in kaleidoscope dreams, a blackened knight with obsidian wings tried to fly her from the violence, but was pulled into the oblivion of sorrows that called him, fighting the urge to curse the ancient ways he's honored. What a strong verse where he's broken between two ways and not sure which one is the stronger one. But this is a brilliant, brilliant poem with just an eerie undertone to it, and I really loved it. Thank you for sharing it, sweet. Really, really cool.
Thank you, Linda, very much.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. And say hello to Sky, 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 everyone. Welcome to the show,
Hi, Sky.
Sky.
Hello, Sky.
Sky, were you there long enough to hear Sweet?
I did not hear hers, no.
Okay, I just wanted to check. Before I have you read, I want to get her another comment. Wayne, did you want to comment for Sweet?
Yeah, I like to comment. It seems so dark. This poem is kind of a dark poem. The souls are left with the ravens together. That's a great little way to start the poem out. And then she waits for the release, but the release was sad because the way the crimson blood ran in the river, and boy, it's sad, but it's about death and departure, and it's a great poem, written real well, and you did a good job reading it. I liked it a whole lot there. It's sweet.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And sweet, I'll give you a call tomorrow. I appreciate
okay,
you calling. Love and respect.
Thank you.
And Sky, I put your poem on the board. If you want to tell us the quote you chose and then read for us.
Yes, thank you. I wrote to the quote, "Oblivion calls out and beckons." And my poem is, "To the Shrinking of Oneself by Sky Darkness." I draft a bitter limb of poetry, the straw-colored feathers that sagging leaves limp on each line. Into the oblivion I descend, a diminution of all that resides, conquered and still. Those fairy thoughts that fret, that demand recompense, a dull pendulum that veers its austere eye, and who am I to argue?
Great brevity. To the Shrinking of Oneself. What a title. I draft a bittern limb of poetry, the straw-colored feathers of sagging weeds limp on each line. I think that's really, really clever wording there, straw-colored feathers of sagging weeds. The image and the thought hit me there. In the oblivion, I descend. I like that. Into the oblivion, I descend. Even though, I mean, you know, you don't really, like, I don't know how to even put into words what I'm trying to say, but I descend, that there's just something about that. And a dull pendulum that leers, an austere eye, and who am I to argue? I like that you ended it with the question there. I wasn't sure where people would go with some of the flowers, but I've been blown away by each one so far. But again, I have to say that I really like the straw-colored feathers of sagging weeds. The image there is like spot on. So a great brevity. And I'm glad you were able to call. Appreciate you. And Linda, what did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. You know, I couldn't get it to come up, so I don't have it in front of me. But you did have some of the most spectacular lines in that poem of any tonight, I think. Really, really beautiful. But it had great imagery to it. It was very, very intense and emotionally tied, but you just did a really great job writing that, the lines, and for as short as it was, the amount of the ratio of lines, like just stellar lines to the size of the poem is just amazing. Not a usual thing to happen, but you can take a bow on this one. Sky. Really lovely. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
Awesome comments. And still here. David, did you want to comment?
Yeah. I sure like this. The length of it is perfect. That's what I said in one of my comments to Sky. Descriptions are, this would have really pushed me to write about this topic, and Sky did it like she always does, like we'll stand on one, you know, on one leg and doing it. I like that first stanza very much. I draft a bitter limb of poetry, the straw-colored feathers of sagging weeds. It sort of goes backwards and forwards right there a little bit to me, I guess. But into the oblivion, I descend a diminuend. I don't know. I can't read tonight. Of all that resides, hunkered and still. And then I like the last one, the last line there, and who am I to argue? That's cool. It was very, very well done, Sky. I think it was marvelous.
Thank you. A bittern is a type of bird that's close to a heron. So there is a back and forth there because it speaks of writing poetry and how we can often be our own worst critic. With thinking that we're not that great. So, and then to the oblivion I descend. And that's why it's called to the shrinking of oneself. Because sometimes we write something and we're like, just, we diminish ourselves, we make ourselves smaller. And then at the end, who am I to argue? Because that's you're in that mindset. So that's it's a little bit of a ride home. But thank you.
Comment, am I sweet?
Oh, we never do see a value of life until I see it before our eyes. Even if it's what we believe, like we believe sometimes, like we're so invaluable that we bring nothing. And it amazes me how much one person can touch another person and then they don't even know it. And I really like this brevity. And just right now, this moment in my life, is just watching and listening to a lot of poems and people have been very kind. And some of them have never thought they brought value. But a kind word, all a hello, means more than $1 million. And I your poem, that really sets that in, that to people be valued. The ability just to be a voice of it. I thought it was an amazing reminder not to do that to you.
And, okay, let me see here. Sky, do you want to tell us about your shows coming up? Well, Stephen actually told us about Thursday, if you want to tell us about tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. So I won't do Thursday since Stephen already did. Tomorrow we are going down the tubes once more, and I gave you guys a little bit of a break on my first show back. The break's over. You have to do some work now. And it's going to be a little bit of work. So the topic is about where I often like to learn where language comes from and like everyday terms that we use, where they came from. It's quite interesting if you think about it, how old things are. And we're going to be learning, instead of three topics, it's one topic, but it's days of the week and the 7 days and where they derive from and, back to where they derive from. So you could write about what you learned, or you can take a fantastic, a more fictional type write or whatever, and you could write to any of the gods that that they're named off of. I've got Thor and Odin up there, and Frigg or Freya, if you will. So you could write to any of those subjects, or you could write to the idea, you could write to language. I don't really care what you write as long as it's somehow on topic and you watch the video and you learn something. So just bring a poem slightly on topic and tell me what you learned. That's all I care about. I like to talk about the conversation, and I love to read poetry. So those two things together is what matters. Tonic 8, which says I'm an early bird, as you can tell, tomorrow. Hello?
Hello, I'm very excited.
Hello.
Yeah, and I will see you there. I'm pretty sure you need to go to bed. And Linda, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I certainly do. I have a new show debuting on the 24th at A Team of Voices at 6 o'clock my time. That would be 10 your time. Come on by and have some fun. I tell some stupid jokes and stuff, and there'll be some new poets there that you probably haven't heard of before. So, yeah, we have a bunch of new folks that are interested in playing along, so that'll be fun. And, yeah, so come on by. And other than that, I have picked up a second show with A Team of Voices, so it'll be the second and third Fridays of the month at 10 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for listening.
Awesome. Lucky us to get you twice in a month.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Oh, and Sweet, earlier when AP called and read his poem, he also announced that we got three more countries. A Team of Voices is up to 74 now. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
I'm so happy for us and so proud of us. We've worked hard, and it's. I mean, we are right around our fourth year. So, who knew in 4 years we could have 74 countries?
Yeah,
I like it.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna be a poem on the fourth. Thank you so much. I definitely bookmarked your poem, Sweet, and yours, Linda. And
thank you.
I'm losing my mind.
Thank you, Sky. I'll give
it
tomorrow.
Don't do that.
For some reason, I couldn't pull that from me. It's really late for me. I'm sorry. And David, so I definitely bookmark them and go visit them in my bookmark list like I usually do, you know, at some point. But have a good night, and thank you.
You too. See you
night.
Night.
Okay, I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel. So here's where we are at the moment. We have Heavenly Angel's poem, and then we have a poem that Crystal sent in, and then three recordings. So I will save Crystal's for last just in case she's able to call in, see what happens. But if you would click on Angel's and the quote, Linda's quote that she chose is... Spring rebirth. We'll start a brand new day. You know, it's funny. There is a pattern. It seems like I spend all that time trying to come up with at least 10 or so quotes, and we all seem to gravitate towards a certain couple. And each poet's words have done that where, you know, there's been one or two where a lot of them have been used, but quite often it's multiple rights. But the thing that gets me is a lot of us wrote to the spring rebirth, yet they were all different in their own ways, and it's always beautiful and stunning and impressive. Anyway, how about if I read the poem? It's called To Bloom Again by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Tonight, I'm thinking of all the things you used to do. Those little whispers of memories that at times niggle at the corners of my mind. Your memory is embroidered in my heart, beautifully engraved upon the canvas of my life. Towards the end, as you struggle just to move about, oh. You told me how much you loved me, to use my strong will and let you go. You wanted to go be with Jesus. I shattered like a glass chandelier dropped from a great height the day you took your last breath. The realistic part of my psyche knew you were at peace. The little girl inside felt lost and abandoned. Driving back to your house from the cemetery, we spotted a field of fresh sunflowers, your favorite flower. And I knew your spirit had come to tell me I'd be all right. Where have all the flowers gone? The most beautiful sunflower which ever bloomed is watching over me always. Spring's rebirth will start a brand new day. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow.
That just
Deb.
Kind of ripped my heart out. Linda, will you comment?
Sure. Deb, you did a stellar job reading that, and we could all hear the emotions in your voice, which brought a lot out of the poem as well. This was a lovely, lovely poem. You know, it's always hard when we lose somebody dear to us, and this was put in a fashion that just wrenched my heart, and hearing your tears behind that made it such an emotional trip. This was really well written. Just the part, I shattered like a glass chandelier dropped from a great height the day you took your last breath. I know that feeling, and it's so hard. You kind of gasp and you can't catch your breath, but you know, we all have to go on. And this is a beautiful poem about life's rebirth. So, Heavenly Angel, you just blew me away with this. Thank you for sharing your beautiful poem. And thank you, Deb, for reading it. You did a great job.
Thank you, Linda. Awesome comment. I feel bad that I couldn't keep it together to read, but it struck hard. And like, you know, it shows the power in her words, in her pen. It touched a spot inside me that you guys could hear. It's always an honor to be her reader, and I hope I didn't butcher it too bad by blubbering, but incredible poem.
You know, Deb, like I said, your emotion brought out the emotion in the poem, so I don't think your feelings took away from the poem at all.
Thanks for saying that. I appreciate it.
Sure.
David?
Oh, Deborah, first of all, you never butchered that poem. The emotion that you put into it amplified the sentiment in it, as far as I'm concerned. And it was a beautiful poem. And, you know, I think we've all been through this when we lose parents. And I thought that Angel did a fantastic job of describing this process, and you did a fantastic job of reading it, and I'd give you a hug if I could right now and a pat on the back, because you did a wonderful job of reading it. So don't ever apologize for being human, DBL. You're a marvelous lady, and I think you're one of the best women on AP that I've ever met. So well done.
Oh, thank you so much, David. I appreciate that very much. My sweet, do you think you can comment?
No, I can't. It was touching and It gives us all the emotion to be with us.
Thank you. Okay. Let me grab the link for Pee-wee's poem. He sent us a recording. And I am looking here. He wrote to Oblivion, calls out and beckons me to come. And here comes his link. Okay, tell me when you see it.
I got it.
Okay, let me start the recording. No, okay.
The precipice. On the precipice of eternity, I sit, pawing at the paper-thin veil that masks your reality from all of it, which I must see and accept as fact. To don the cloak of ignorance, divine, one would suppose it, although that's a destiny was never mine. Forced to watch realities come and go. Far from omnipotent, just cursed to see into the abyss and eternity. Frightening to see inside the worst. Time's becoming too much for me. On the precipice, watching spirals of madness overtaking my brain. Eating it away like something viral. Short highway headed for insane. Would I show you the world as my twisted thoughts show me? I would give my brain to anyone for eyes just as twisted, don't you see? Those eyes I would gladly rate, but to know how life should be. Masochistic, sadistic, and fake. For me, freedom is a lobotomy. Here I stand again on the precipice, drawing rings around your moon. Years I spent preparing for this. Oblivion cannot come too soon. Rip the fabric to shreds again. Chaos reigns through the land. Returning home to my oblivion. See the end come by my hand. And boom.
Where do I start? There's so many. I'm going to start in the beginning there. On the precipice of eternity, I sit pawing at the paper-thin veil that masks your reality from all of it, which I see and must accept. Fact. Down further, on the precipice of watching spirals of madness overtaking my brain, eating it away like something viral, short, highway headed for insane. And then the other one, oh my goodness, those eyes I would gladly rake, but to know how life should be, masochistic, sadistic, and fake. For me, freedom is a lobotomy. And imagine that, just that line, for me, freedom is a lobotomy. It's like the only way to get away from that memory is to just cut it out, cut that chunk, and it's just like the emotion here was overwhelming. And here I stand again on the precipice, drawing rings around your moon. Years I spent preparing for this. Oblivion cannot come too soon. It's like gut-wrenching emotion coming through. Returning home to my oblivion, see the end come by my hand. No. No is all I feel. When I heard those, see the end come by my hand, no is screaming in my brain. Keep writing it out. It's like, you know, it's therapeutic. And it's like, man, I'm stuttering a little bit because of the power here and the ache and sorrow, and it's like somebody's really fake and sadistic kicked you in the gut, but you're stronger than they are. Never let them win. But again, my mind keeps screaming, no, no. The end comes far too soon for too many. Stay, please. Linda? Linda, are you muted?
Yeah, sorry. no, this was just really, really cool. You know, the veil between reality and insanity is a very thin one, and is easily our minds are so easily broken that this poem talks about, and it's so sad what some people have to go through and how they have to feel, and it's not a fact of taking drugs to help it or therapy to help it. It's just the way people feel and have to go through, and the end of this is so sad because it happens to so many people. See the end come by my hand. That is such a sad thing. You know, I had a friend like this that was pre-programmed by the government to commit suicide because she had been a high class call girl for getting different countries' information, and she had tried to commit suicide I don't know how many times, but every time called me to come help her, and I would stitch her up. I have a poem called The Needle and Pink Thread that's about that. And finally she hung herself in my friend's closet with his tie with a note that says, I quit. You know, nothing more, nothing less, just I quit. She had had enough of the insanity, and that's what this poem brought to my mind. How very hard that was. I was 16 at the time, so it was very difficult for me as a teenager to cope with my friend's insanity, but it's something that I got through, and I did, and it didn't make it any easier, but this is a beautiful, beautiful poem, Pee-wee. I'm blown away, and I thank you very much for sharing it. Your work is always welcome. It's always a welcome thing. So thank you for sharing it, Pee-wee.
Great comment. And David, would you comment? And then thank you for saying yes and read for Crystal for me.
Yeah, this was really good. I really liked it. It was really powerful. It's the way it's written, it grabs onto you and it won't let you go until you clear it, through it. And I like the fact that he used the picture of this nebula here. The universe is a vast thing, and it makes it. You really have to stretch your brain to comprehend how large just this galaxy is. And where I'm going with this is the fact that the biggest problems that we face aren't anything compared to what's going on out in the universe. And, I hate to see people take their own lives, There's always something that can be done. There's always another way to handle situations other than taking your own life. And besides being a mortal sin, it's kind of selfish from everybody else that knows you and loves you, because they never got a chance to say goodbye. They never got a chance to tell you that they loved you all over again. You know, that's why I think we should tell our friends every day that we love them, you know, because, you know, sometimes we're here today and gone tomorrow. So anyway, it's a beautiful poem. I thought it was really well done. And that's what I think. So anyway.
Thank you, David. And Crystal is on the board, and she wrote to My Wings Adrift on mystic air and a melody of flight in a mirrored pool of stars. So please.
Okay, this is one that says of yellow and lilac.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Crystal's one of my favorite ladies on AP, just like all of you. So I'm honored to read for her. And it's called Of Yellow and Lilac. Mulberry clouds shadow the sunlight, beaming behind the periwinkle skies. Emerald wings flutter to swamps, filtered with violet petals of butterflies. Watercolors bleed with acrylic paint, streaming with teardrops of spring showers. Lime stems peel like dandelions floating through the valleys of lilac and yellow flowers. Fireflies mirror the stars gleaming in a pool, flickering with ripples of moon melodies. Violin strings dangle in the almond breeze with piano tones of ivory keys. Golden sunrises reflect on the white dusk, brushed from the chalkboards of moonlight. Oh, I like that line very much. Morning dew berries the tiny twinkles stained by the flight of yellow of lilac. End poem. Way to go, Chrissy. Way to go.
Very pretty.
Thank you for reading.
Yeah, it's marvelous. You're welcome.
I love her title of yellow and lilac. It's like a tribute to the colors. Mulberry clouds shadow the sunlight beaming behind the periwinkle skies. Mulberry clouds, sometimes you see them just before a storm. Watercolors bleed with acrylic paint, streaming with teardrops of spring showers. There's a really sadness there to the thought of that those watercolors bleeding and streaming with teardrops. Fireflies mirror the stars gleaming in a pool, flickering with ripples of moonlight melodies. There's just so much beauty through it. That the descriptions are fantastic. And her rhyme, and I also like the fact that brushed from the chalkboard of moonlight black struck you so much that you sort of commented mid-read. When something hits you that hard, you know, it shows that your pen is mighty powerful. And we've been saying this around here for years, but I think that Crystal is definitely wise beyond her years, and it always shows in her poetry.
Yep, it does.
Isn't she really young?
Yeah. She's like 22.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that. Well, Deb, you and I have talked about how Crystal has grown since she's been on AP, a team of voices. She's almost exponential in her growth, the way she writes. It seems like every time I read one of her poems, it seems like it's exponentially better, you know. She improves at the square of the amount of poems that she writes, and I just love reading her stuff. And she's one of the nicest gals too. That's the other nice thing about
Chrissy. She's really cool, and she's been a friend of mine for 3-4 years now, I guess. I don't know. As long as she's been in a team of voices. I don't know how long that's been, but anyway. Yeah, she's pretty cool.
I agree. She's definitely sweet. And before you comment, Linda, let's say hello to Hatter. He's back. He's back.
Hi, Hatter.
Hey, Hatter.
Unmute.
How did you know I was muted? Sorry.
Because we couldn't hear you. It's usually what happens.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, you want to go ahead and comment for Crystal?
Yellow and lilac. Yeah, Miss Lilac here. Beautifully done. Every time there's periwinkle, I mean, I'll be thinking of you guys every time periwinkle's ever said the rest of my life. I attended the, I believe it's the Lilac Festival in Rochester, New York. And that has a totally different meaning because I don't remember having lilacs around here. And I've never seen any fireflies. So it sparks visions that I've never seen before. So good read.
Fireflies are something else. They are.
Yeah, what time of year are they the most abundant? Fall or spring?
Maybe you'll see some in Oz, Hatter.
I think
in autumn.
Summer. That's when I've seen fireflies. But we don't have them up here in the Pacific Northwest. I saw them when I was down in Louisiana.
Oh, wow. I couldn't imagine not seeing them. It's funny how some things aren't, we all live in the same country, but some things just aren't in our areas. Linda, you want to comment for Crystal?
Sure. This was beautiful. You know, the iris is one of my very favorite flowers. They are just so beautiful and so fragile. And this poem is kind of like that. It's fragile and soft. And it's like the words were painted on the canvas to bring out the beauty of this flower. And I like this: fireflies mirror the stars gleaming in a pool, flickering with ripples of moonlight melodies. Violin strings dangle in the almond breeze with the piano tones of ivory keys. Just very beautifully written. And the imagery in this poem is with the colors, the lilacs and the yellow, bring out was really, really beautiful. So all around the rhyme, the imagery, the context itself was really, really beautiful. So I think that this is a beautiful piece by Crystal. And yeah, for as young as you are, Crystal, you are an amazing, amazing poet. Thank you for sharing it, darling.
Awesome comments, everyone. Now we have two more recordings to finish up. And, oh, wow, that time flies. We are right at the end here. So let's just get them going. If you guys would, I put both links on at the same time. So if you guys would click on Jenny's, I will push play.
Wrapped guilty humans versus vengeful guilty tigers. Majestically glorious Siberian tigers, white or Bengal, all are sadly misunderstood. Often associated with revenge and feared, really, they are just furry-friendly giants. Mess with their cubs or try to do them harm, like any parent, they will come after you. Rest upon them gracefully and gently, like the butterflies do. Gentle creatures they can be if you are too. Near waterfalls, on the safari, or by a cave, they can be found, gallantly sunbathing freely at peace. Then again, maybe they are just nature's natural predators. But who is worse, them or us? Who is endangered? Who is more scarce? They kill to eat, eat to survive. Yes, we also kill to live, but some still find the sport of it quite a thrill. My eyes are willingly sewn to shut out the fading and darkened light of the non-remorseful poachers slaying furry beasts for sport. You will never find a trophy slaughter hanging in a tiger's habitat. Nature's beastly creatures are not like human predators. Once able to freely roam, now threatened with early extinction, as we take their once rightfully owned homes. End poem.
Fantastic read, Jenny. And wow, I liked right from that first line, majestically glorious Siberian tigers, white or bangled, are so sadly misunderstood. And that's true. Leave them alone. They'll leave us alone. They hunt for the food that they live. But I really like the mess with the cubs or try to do them harm. Like any parent, they will come after you. And you often relay your anger as, like, I'm as protective as a mama bear. But any mom is viciously protective, and you know, she's sitting there and she's perfectly content.
You got a typer.
Yeah, who's typing?
Oh, I'm sorry, with me.
And it's like the there's no greater fury than the mom who is coming at you because you messed with her kid. And if that doesn't show a certain level of, quote, humanity, what does? They grieve, they love, they protect. So I think that her saying that they're sadly misunderstood is a truthfully powerful sentence there. And I like closer to the end, my eyes are willingly sewn to shut out the fading and darkened light of the non-remorseful poachers slaying furry beasts for a sport. It's like she's advocating for these beautiful, beautiful cats and any animal. I mean, I'm sorry, in my opinion, poachers are pond scum, lower level forms of life, and I'm, you know, there's one thing to need to kill something to eat, but just because you want a pretty statue or a fur, it's pathetic. And you think about some of the things, and they'll roll up and kill mom and take her. And then there's this baby who's supposed to fend for themselves. It's totally off topic, sort of, but I was just watching something called The Elephant Whisperer, and that's what was happening. The poachers would kill the mom for a tusk, and then these babies are left to fend for themselves. And there was this remarkable couple in India who people call when this happens, and they literally treat these elephants like their children. They bathe them in the rivers, and they take them for walks, and they hand feed them. And it's if you get a chance to see it, that like I said, it's the Elephant Whisperers. I was so impressed by the work that this couple puts in for these elephants, and the love that the elephants return to them. It's a remarkable documentary type thing. So that's what Jenny's beautiful poem made me think of. Fantastic share. And you know, I'm noticing here that she's won a couple of awards for it. That's really fantastic. Congratulations on those, Jenny. And Linda, what did you think?
I think this is an amazing write. The subject matter is so like dear to my heart and many others, about the plight of animals over in India and Africa, and other places, but this one dealing with the big cats is what I get. Don't poke the bear because they will poke back. And I like this, rest upon them gracefully and gently like the butterflies do. That is such an amazing piece of imagery right there of seeing a big cat with a butterfly on its nose, and just a wonderful, wonderful visual. And I like how she talks about, you know, they kill to eat, eat to survive. And yes, we also kill to live, but they don't have trophies of our heads on their wall. You know, we enjoy it just a little too much, the killing of them. And I don't know too many people who eat tiger. I guess they do in Africa or India somewhere. Somebody does, but yeah, this is like a poem that is informationally beautiful. Getting it out there and spreading it around is a good thing. So, Jenny, I think you did a real fine job on this. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment. What you think, Hatter?
This is great. You know, there is such a thing called the extinction clock, and certain, as they approach extinction, they click up to midnight, and you can go see what animals, what part of that face of the clock. The elephant whisperer, there was a gentleman, I don't think it was India, he was in Africa. He built a sanctuary for the elephants because the farmers were killing him because the elephants were just tearing up the farms. So he built this refuge. He did it for decades, 25, 30 years, I believe. He got sick and he passed away. And the elephants came to the house and stood there for a week. You know, in sorrow for the loss of this guy's life, like they knew. They stayed there for a week. It was just mind-blowing.
That's amazing, yeah. All right.
Hey, Deb?
Yes, sir?
I don't know if you remember it or not, but I've written two or three poems about poachers. And, you know, I've always been a staunch supporter of the big cats, and I have no time of day for poachers and stuff. And I just thought I'd throw that in there just – I don't know if you remember it or not, but it was read, one of those poems read on your show. So anyway, just ringing my own bell a little bit.
I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. No, like I said, I think that they're low lights, about as low as you can get. Okay.
Yep,
so,
I agree.
I put Phil the Poet's poem on the board. If you click on that, I shall push play. And let me see here, where is Oblivion calls out and beckons me to come. And here comes his recording.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Under the Savannah Sun. Lions growl in their sleep under the savannah sun. A thunderstorm erupting like a shot from a gun. But the lions just yawn and lazily lick their paws. Another uses a gnarled tree to sharpen his claws, stretching out among the tumbleweed of a brazen earth. A lioness wanders off to a quiet place to give birth. A newly born lion cub draws curiosity from the male. The mother snarls and bites the king's royal tail. He whimpers and caresses his wounded pride, ignores the laughing hyenas who taunt him at his side, then turns with savage rage making the cowards lament, their fear rising in his nostrils like a fragrant scent. Soon the evening will come with its musky colours. The pride gathers together while a cub seeks its mother. Crying in the deserted place of the roasting plain, circling vultures watching as his life begins to drain. Hyenas scoff at the little lion's cries for help. Food for the vultures and for us, ye pathetic whelp. They seem to say, through jagged smiles and evil laughs, suddenly they have trespassed upon dead-end paths. A roar haunts the savannah, and the hunt begins, pouncing on the enemy, breaking bones, making them sing. From the dust of chaos, a reunion of mother and child chastises her son with a growl, saying, "Be careful in the wild." End poem.
Bravo. Excellent.
Wow. Right? Oh, under the savannah sun, lions growl in their sleep. A thunderstorm erupting like a shot from a gun, but lions just yawn and lazily lick their paws. Another use of a gnarled tree to sharpen his claws. The details that he put there, you can picture the scene. You can almost hear the sound of the of that scratchy tongue licking his paws. I like the little pieces like stretching out amongst the tumbleweeds, or he whimpers and caresses his wounded pride, ignoring the laughing hyenas who taunt him at his side. Then turns with savage rage, making the cowards lament, their fear rising in his nostrils like a fragrant scent. This poem reads like it could be the intro to a National Geographic episode to me.
Exactly.
And then towards the end there, hyenas scoff at the little lion's cries for help. Food for the vultures and for us, you pathetic whelp. They seem to say, through jagged smiles and evil laughs, suddenly they have trespassed upon dead end paths. Phil's one of those poets that no matter what we throw at him, he comes back with an incredible poem, and he never ceases to amaze us all. I'm pretty sure there was a major collective wow at the end of the poem. Chastises her son with a growl, saying, "Be careful in the wild." It's just an excellent poem, and I was trying to find the art, and let me see. It's got to be here. I should have put it on. I keep forgetting you know what? I should have it right in my file here, because I usually save his, because I know he needs me to add them. Okay, yeah, here it is. It's a really, really pretty picture. And he totally painted a scene that every bit as vivid as the art is, which is a really awesome thing. And I am grabbing that, and I will have that on the chat wall in a half a second so you can see what I mean. Okay, here it comes. Right now, you should see it, but they're snuggled up, and it's gorgeous under that savannah sun. But the story that he brought to this, and to the quote from Linda's poem, is amazing, and absolutely wonderful. Share, Phil, and I always love listening to you read with your pronunciations and your accent. It's always a great treat. This is fabulous. Thank you so much. Linda, what you think?
Well, you know, Phil is such an awesome poet, and I love, love, love when he does this double rhyme stuff. He's so good at it. And, yeah, listening to him read with his little growls in there and stuff, what was really cool. But this was a beautiful poem and really told a vibrant story of life on the savannah. And, you know, it's not many poets who could bring out, I think it was his tone of voice that did it and his little growls that were in there that really brought out what it could be like for a baby cub out there. And it's like I said on the last one, you know, don't poke the bear because he will poke you back. And this was, you know, relative to that. But Phil is such a good poet. I just love his work. And this is no exception. Phil, thank you very much for the beautiful piece. And your reading was stellar. Thank you. Thank you dearly.
Awesome comment. Hatter?
Yeah, I was going to say real quick, interrupt you and say that that was me growling. But no, that wasn't.
Yeah, no.
Phil, you can tell he's either been on a camera safari or he likes his documentaries about the African wildlife. I'm the same way. I mean, those great to learn from. And he's, the reason I say that is that he's detailed those lines as a narration. Like you said, it could be an intro to any one of those documentaries. Very good.
Great comment. And David, the last comment, yours.
Well, this was great. And I agree with what everybody says about Phil. He's a great poet. He's a great storyteller. He definitely has his dominoes all in a row when it comes to the description of the savannah and Africa and the big cats and all of that. I can't, like Linda said, you know, if you poke the bear, he'll poke back with you. I watched a thing on YouTube one time. I got to tell you guys the story because it's the utmost in stupidity that I've ever seen. There was a guy, probably it looked like the Pacific Northwest, someplace up in here. And we have these smaller bears. They're not grizzlies. They're black bears and brown bears and stuff. They're not really that big, but they're way bigger than a human. And they're way, way stronger. And this guy was chasing one, or he was walking behind one in the woods, and he came up and he started poking it with a bow and arrow. You know, he's poking it with the bow. And I thought, Jesus, you moron, what are you doing, you know? And about the second time, third time he did that, the bear turned around, and that was the last he saw that. The movie went, he must have dropped his GoPro down in the dirt because that's all I saw after that. And it's stupid. I mean, you know, people are stupid.
Yeah.
They really do dumb stuff nowadays. They just don't have any common sense anymore, you know.
A bear
yeah.
cub could mess you up. A bear cub could mess you up.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, a dog can do that. You know, that big old shepherd of mine, oh, man, I would not want him mad at me. No way.
So, like you said, before, there's no, how's it going? There's no bigger fury than a mother with babies, or how's that go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if you're in the vicinity of a bear, I don't care what kind of a bear it is, and your cub's around, you'd best be hightailing it out of there as soon as you can because she won't wait for you to do something stupid. She's proactive on that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm upset eaten by a bear one night.
What's that?
Well, you know, some days the bear will eat you, and some days you eat the bear.
Yeah, most of the time it's a bear eating you. I've seen some of these guys that are the recipient of a bear attack, and there ain't much left of them after that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You survived that.
I tell you, you know, I would rather be in the company of a cougar or a bobcat, you know, than a bear, hands down. You know, just because bears are big, that don't mean that they can't move. They can outrun a human. I think they've said they can run downhill
oh, yeah.
about 35 miles more. You know,
35.
So
that's still you got a
yeah.
chance.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Awesome comments.
Yeah, I've never been chased by a bear, but I've been chased by a badger several times, and they're pretty ferocious too, something you don't want to mess with.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. There's a whole brand new breed of stupid Americans nowadays. They don't have a sense that, you know, cannot fool something like that.
Yeah, there's right. There's a new video on YouTube. It's three lions, a mother and the two cubs. But the cubs are as big as she is, so they're hunters. Also, they come across a honey badger, and it goes on for a good five six minutes. And
mm-hmm.
Guess who walks away? The honey
badger.
Yeah, yep. Those three lions. Every one of them took a beating. You go on YouTube and find it. It's pretty funny. Glad to see.
Yeah, badgers are badass.
Yeah, they are. They got the disposition to be badasses too.
Well, that's it with a bear. You don't know. They're very temperamental, and you don't know what. You won't be able to tell if it's male or female for one thing if you don't know bears and their temperaments are volatile. I mean, you just don't know. They can come after you
yeah.
or not, depending on their mood.
Yeah, and, you know, a bear can close the distance. If a bear's 100 feet away from you, he can close that distance in a matter of seconds. And unless you're a snapshot with a rifle that's got a big enough bullet in it to knock it down, you're a dead man. They just, you know, they'd have to be 500 feet away from you minimum for you to get a shot off to killing one of them. And, you know, most of these heroes out in the woods with rifles couldn't hit the broadside of a bull's ass with one of them. So, you know.
Hey, Dave, you need to go Google Joe Rogan, and he interviews a guy that was a group that was attacked by a grizzly bear. And it's a phenomenal story. Before they could reach their guns, they But they all survived, so it's a great story.
You know, the thing
I tell
is,
you, so,
was that the last poem, Deb?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that often, if an animal, they usually smell our scent before we get close to them, and they run, or if they see us, they run. The only time that most often, when they stand their ground, it's either because they were just about to eat and you're getting too close to their food, or even more ferociously, you're getting close to their children, and then there's hell to pay. Other than that, they try to stay as far away from us as they possibly can. So if you're messing with their kids or
their
food, shame on you, know. But
have you heard of the cocaine bears?
Right. Yeah.
Have you heard of the report of the cocaine bears? Apparently some lost packages of illegal substances, some bears got into it. I don't understand the whole story, but I heard the title of that somewhere. Just wonder if you had heard that.
There's a movie out now called Cocaine Bear, and it's a true story. Sad but true.
Okay,
they stumbled across it and ate it, yeah. But, all right, so, like, we are about 20 minutes over. So I want to remind everyone that next week the poet words that we're featuring are words by Xylophonic Blue. And the art is by Carrie Darlington. So you can pick your art and pick your quote and see how inspired you are. And there just happens to be a bear. If anybody wants to continue on with the, you know, the thought of that. But there are some really cool pictures to choose from. I'm looking forward to that. And Linda, before I close out my show, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, I'm having a show on a Team of Voices next Friday. That's the 24th at 10 p.m. Eastern. I'd like you all to join me. We can have some fun. And as of now, I've picked up another show on a Team of Voices. So now I have two, the second and third Friday of the month at 10 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for listening.
Awesome. And I want to take this time to...
Oh, wait.
Go ahead, honey. Go
ahead. Wait. And I want to thank all you lovely poets out there. I don't have a list, but you know who you are. You did an amazing job with my quotes. I'm honored to be a part of this and honored that you wrote to my quotes. Thank you very much.
Awesome. And I'd also like to thank the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, who sponsors A Team of Voices Radio, and also A.P. himself for being one of the amazing board members that helped keep this flowing, along with my big brother Hatter and my suite. Doing this with the three of you is like great joy. And I also want to thank Linda for her wonderful quotes of inspiration that led to all the poems from tonight. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Stephen and Angel and Titus and Pee-wee and Jenny and Crystal and Wayne and Phil and Sky and our storyteller king, David. Appreciate you all very much. You just make these shows special. And as long as you keep enjoying them, we'll keep putting them out there. And don't forget to click on the link I just put on the board with the information for Sky Show for tomorrow at 8. And I'm trying to double check. There might not be another show until Linda's on Friday, but I'll double verify that. But in the meantime, again, Sky tomorrow and over at Poetic Slice on Wednesday. They are doing Tammy Wynette and George Jones, so that should be a great show. And on that note, I think for some reason I find myself in the mood to hear this song, and it seems like with everything that we heard tonight, a little bit of sadness, some light. It seems like a great song to end the show with. So let's end the show with Kermit the Frog, everyone. Love and respect.
Love and respect.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing, and what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it,
the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailors? The voice might be one and the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. That's Kermit the Frog, everyone. Another great show in the books, heard by 74 countries around the world. Wow. Thank you, Hatter. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.